What kind of religion is it? Generally, people go to church to get relief from calamity. Oh God, save us from the material
distress.
I don't know who you are, God, or where you are, but right now I'm in distress. So whoever you are, wherever you are, please do something about it. You can read in the Bhagavatam about the demigods. Whenever they're harassed by the demons, they offer prayers to the Supreme Lord. And then they sit back and wait for the incarnation to come. We're in distress. We've offered our prayers to the Lord. Now it's just a matter of time before the Lord will come. We'll wait. That is not the highest level of devotion. The highest level of devotion means, in any circumstance, I'm simply seeing how my attachment to Krishna is increasing. So Queen Kunti is noticing, in all those calamities that happen to the Pandava boys and myself, I noticed our attraction for Krishna was increasing. Therefore, I say, let the calamities happen again and again. Because we were becoming so successful in our life by remembering Krishna intensely. Through all those calamities, Krishna was closely with us. But now, the real calamity is about to happen. Krishna is leaving to go back to Dwarka. This is the real disaster. Therefore, Kunti said, better we have the calamities and Krishna stays with us than have peace and security and Krishna is gone. Isn't this an extraordinary way to look at life? Now you might be wondering, how could I ever think like that? That if calamities make me more Krishna conscious, let calamities come. Seems impossible anyone can actually think like that. We probably think that we could be like the demigods, the devas. When there's distress, we immediately turn to the Supreme Lord for relief. The devas are pious, Sukriti, so we can be like that. When there's distress, we'll know who to turn to. But this prayer by Queen Kunti, let calamities happen again and again, this is very difficult to understand. But when you think about the power of pure love, then understanding Kunti's prayer becomes easier.
Mm-hmm.
In bhakti, love becomes so intense that you don't even care whether there's material distress or happiness. You're focusing on something else. In other words, for the devotee, another standard of success in life exists. How is my attraction for Krishna increasing? And how has Krishna arranged the circumstances of my life so my attraction increases? You can also see this attitude in the first canto when Maharaj Prichit was cursed by the Brahmana boy, and he sat on the bank of the Ganges to hear from Shukadev Goswami. He said, I don't care about this curse. I don't care about the snake bird. Let the snake bird come. But I just want to go on hearing the glories of Lord Krishna and feeling my attraction increase. In other words, you may think I'm in a suffering situation, about to die by the bite of a snake bird, but I am absorbed in hearing the glories of the Lord. I just want that glorification to go on and my life is successful. The Acharyas revealed that Prichit Maharaj might have been feeling a little discomfort from fasting from all water and food, but he was more concerned that he might experience the real discomfort of Shukadev Goswami stopping his recitation of the glories of the Lord. Just to relieve a little bit of discomfort, when if Shukadeva Goswami stopped speaking, that would be the greatest discomfort. So once again, this is why Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami says in Chaitanya Charitamrita that it's very difficult to understand the mind and mood of someone absorbed in love of Krishna. Once in the early days of his time, a devotee was with Prabhupada, and he showed Prabhupada a picture of Prabhupada in which the devotee thought Prabhupada was looking very sad. So he asked Prabhupada, why are you looking so sad in this picture? Prabhupada replied, you don't know. I was feeling the greatest ecstasy. Love of Krishna and separation is the most difficult subject to understand. Unless we are absorbed in devotional service and receive the blessings of our spiritual master. then we can understand how any success on the material platform has no comparison when you talk about the success of developing attraction for Krishna. Now ask it. Maharaj, would you mind to say something?
Ask a question.
I have to do whatever he says. I want to ask a question.
У меня вопрос. You've described success as attraction to Krishna. But is there any success for a devotee who has not yet awakened any attraction to Krishna?
Every morning we're singing like that. Guru Mukha Padma Vakya Chiteche Kodiya Anakariya Maraya. Attachment to the lotus feet of the Guru. That is the perfection. Attachment to the words that come from the mouth of the spiritual master. This is the only thing we want, nothing more. I don't want anything more. Guru Mukha Padma Vakya Chiteche Koriya. The word coming from the lotus mouth, that is my attachment. This is the mysticism of bhakti. Meeting Krishna through the order of the Guru. How that happens is the highest mystic yoga. How somehow, through following the instructions of the spiritual master, one is associated with Krishna. This attachment for the instructions of the spiritual master begins with duty consciousness. That means I do something whether I feel like it or not. In the city where I was born, on the biggest post office, there's a mantra glorifying the post, guys who deliver the post. It's a big building about the size of the biggest train station here. And then on the front of the building is written the mantra. Engraved in stone. Rain or snow or storms or whatever, nothing will stop the host person from delivering the post. And they have that kind of pride. In any condition of nature, you will get your post. We will not be discouraged or impeded by material circumstances.
Mm-hmm.
So by developing attachment to duty in Krishna consciousness, then gradually you can experience attachment for the Supreme Lord. But this is another mystery of bhakti. Bhakti is the highest mysticism. That's why Krishna says in the Gita, Yoginam api sarvesham madhyateram saratana shaddhavam jateyama samegatamomata. Krishna says the greatest yogi, the highest mystic, is the one who's always absorbed in Krishna consciousness, rendering transcendental service to the Lord. By being attached to serving Krishna, you are attached to Krishna. Gradually you become more and more aware, I'm attached to Krishna. There are different intensities of love. This is brings me to a point I may be discussing at Odessa and Dibnamos this year. How, if you take a glass of water and drink and think Krishna is the taste, you're seeing Krishna. They're just different levels of intensity of seeing Krishna. Now I have a question. Can you please answer your own question?
I didn't know the answer, so I asked you. Should I answer that?
We do whatever you say.
All right, I'll go back to my question. And I accepted your answer. If I were to summarize, I would the point that you simply made is just that the criteria of success for a devotee who has not yet achieved attraction for Krishna is that he has awakened attraction to serving the instructions of a Vaishnava, spiritual master. Correct? Is that correct?
Yep.
Yeah. I want to make sure I understood your answer. Yes? No. Shushusha Shana Dana Sevasu Deva Katavichi, San Mahasevi Punitya Sevan, Bhagavatam, Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto. By serving devotees who are freed from vice, great service is done. By such service, one awakens his attraction for hearing the chanting of Krishna. By serving devotees who are free from vice. Vice, you know what vice is? Do you know what vice is?
Vice. Vice is a calumny.
It is great service is done. And by such service, one awakens his attraction for hearing and chanting about Krishna. So attraction is awakened by serving one who has some attraction. In fact, Krishna also explains the 12th chapter of Bhagavad Gita that you should always fix your mind upon him. Tells Arjuna, you should always fix your mind upon me. But if you can't fix your mind upon me, then you should follow the regulative principles of Bhakti Yoga. In this way you will awaken your attraction to attaining me. So, following the regulative principles of Bhakti Yoga includes association with and serving the orders of Vaishnavas. Therefore, we can understand that another criteria of success is to obtain the association of a Vaishnava who has attraction to Krishna. And by that such association, then gradually, through service, one will also awaken attraction within his own heart for hearing and chanting about Krishna. So certainly, that is another criteria of success. Just like we also explained last night in the commentary, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's commentary to the verse which says that after performance of pious activities in many lives, and becoming freed from sinful reactions, persons become determined to engage in devotional service. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur and Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, also we quoted, explains that that pious activities in of themselves do not bring one to the resolute stage of bhakti. Pious activities diminishes the influence of the mode of ignorance, and the mode of goodness becomes more prominent. Then the result of many pious activities, one can achieve different types of results. We gave the example of Bhogan Mukhi Sukriti, Moksha Mukhi Sukriti, and Bhaktin Mukhi Sukriti. And that the most auspicious result of pious activities performed for many, many lives is to get the association of a Vaishnava. In the conversation between Ramananda Roy and Lord Chaitanya, Ramananda Roy stated, that pure devotional service cannot be had by millions of births of pious activities. So Pure devotional service can be had only by the intense desire to purchase, to obtain this. And wherever one sees it, one must immediately purchase it without delay. So Ramananda Roy was emphasizing the need to purchase, to become very greedy for this pure devotional service. One actually has to awaken greed within his heart. In fact, Srila Narottam Das Thakur also explains. It's like we know there is kama, krodha, mada, moha, matsarya. Kama means lust, krodha means anger. Lobha is greed. And Narottam Das Thakur describes that lust, I will dovetail by offering the fruits of all of my activities for the satisfaction of the Supreme Lord. Anger, I will dovetail by becoming angry at those who are enemies of the Lord. Enemies of the devotee, excuse me. And greed, I will dovetail by becoming greedy for the association of those devotees who are attached to the Lord. So now Narottam Das Thakur explains the same point about greed. Just as Ramananda Roy also explains that greed, one must become greedy to purchase pure devotional service wherever he sees it. So if one sees it, then the greed to purchase it without delay becomes his qualification for obtaining it. So we should understand that greed for the Lord, that greed for the association of the devotees of the Lord, is also a criteria of success. Prasangam ajaram pasham atmana kava yovidusa eva sadashukato moksha dvaram upavrita. That every learned person knows that attachment for material things is the cause of bondage for the conditioned soul. When that same attachment is applied to self-realized devotees, then it opens the gates to liberation. Madashriya kata mishta shinvanti katayanti cha tapanti vividhastapa naitamanta chitetasa. Engaged constantly in hearing and chanting about me, devotees do not suffer from material miseries because they are always filled with thoughts of my activities and pastimes. Taite sarva sadhi sarva sangha vivajita sangaste shatate pacha sangha dosha harahite. O my mother, O virtuous lady, you have to seek out the association of such devotees and become attached to them, Because that attachment will counteract all the pernicious effects of your material attachment. So these verses and so many others from Srimad Bhagavatam explain the importance of obtaining the association of a Vaishnava. Whose association can awaken within our own hearts an attraction for Krishna. So of course association means that one has to hear. Lord Shiva explains in the fourth canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam that the dust of the lotus feet of a Vaishnava can act upon a person in two different ways. That by serving the lotus feet of a Vaishnava, it can bring one, increase one's attachment to the lotus feet of Krishna. But by offending the lotus feet, the dust of the lotus feet of the Vaishnava, then one gets thrown down. So, therefore, to obtain the association of a Vaishnava is certainly a great success. In fact, Lord Chaitanya describes such a person as Bhagyavan. Brahmanda Brahmate Kona Bhagyavan Jeev Guru Krishna Prasad He Pai Bhakti Lata Bij. After wandering throughout the entire universe, the living entity becomes very fortunate when he actually achieves the shelter of the lotus feet of a Vaishnava. And from him he receives that seed, that bhakti lata bij, that seed of devotional service, which is planted within the heart. So once that seed of devotional service is planted within the heart, then one has to always seek out the association of those Vaishnavas who will water that seed. And one should awaken that greed for such association within his heart. That greed is awakened by the mercy of Vaishnava. It's very difficult to awaken that greed by our own efforts. But by the mercy of Vaishnavas who are glorifying the Lord, one can get the opportunity to awaken within his heart the desire to serve the Lord. So, therefore, we can understand that also another criteria of success is to obtain the association of such a Vaishnava. And if one obtains such association, then he can gradually advance along that path of success. We quoted a verse last night, Satam Prasangam Amaliya Sambhado Devanti Hrit Gana Rasayana Kata Taj Joshanad Ashrapavaga Vartmani Shradharatya Bhakti Anupra Nishati. That in the association of devotees, Discussions of the pastimes and activities of the Supreme Lord become very pleasing to the ear and to the heart. In other words, that's how attraction is awakened. Nitya Siddha Krishna Prema Sajika Bunoi Shravanadi Sutta Chitti Kori Udoi. The pure love of Krishna is eternally situated within the heart of every living being. It doesn't come from any other source. And when a living entity hears about Krishna from the right source, that attraction becomes awakened in their heart. That attraction for Krishna, that greed, is lying dormant in the heart of every living being. Therefore, one has to awaken that attraction. And that attraction is awakened in the association of those who have attraction. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains this point in Madhurya Kadambani. That bhakti is eternal, it has no origin. Bhakti is there, lying dormant within the heart of every living being. And by our own efforts, we cannot create bhakti within our heart. Simply by following sadhana doesn't mean that bhakti, bhava bhakti, will automatically awaken. Bhakti is eternal. Simply by following sadhana bhakti does not mean that bhava bhakti will awaken in one's heart. Bhakti has no cause, it is causeless. It cannot begin at any point in time. It's always manifest. So the bhakti within our hearts is awakened. When one comes in contact with a Vaishnava with whose heart bhakti is awakened. This way we see that bhakti is the cause of bhakti and has no other cause. We can't awaken bhakti within our hearts. We explained this point last night. That it's not our effort alone which actually brings us to the platform of bhakti. The living entity cannot achieve it by his own endeavors. Because if we're not situated in bhakti, what can we do by our own efforts to awaken bhakti? We can't. Bhakti has no beginning. Bhakti causes bhakti. And therefore, it has no other cause other than itself. Therefore, we have to seek out the association of devotees who have bhakti. And then by being in their association and hearing about the instructions of the Lord, pastimes of the Lord, then gradually that love for Krishna will awaken within us. Just as Prabhupada explains that fire is in wood.
Uh,
It's there, lying dormant in wood. But how does it come out? It has to come in contact with fire. When it comes in contact with fire, that fire acts as a catalyst to bring the fire out of the wood. Therefore, for one who has attained the association of a devotee of the Lord, such a person is considered to be very fortunate. And if he goes on through hearing and rendering service, Krishna has given this criteria in Bhagavad Gita. Pari Krishna Sevaya, that one has to inquire and render service. And then the result of such submissive inquiry and service is that the devotee gradually experiences his success in life as it becomes more manifest. That my success in this life is I have come in contact with devotees. Now if I really want to make this life successful, I must try to satisfy these devotees. Nothing will make them happier than for them to see bhakti awakening within my heart. Therefore, we should always try to satisfy and to please the Vaishnavas. Hear from them, and gradually this success in life will become manifest. This highest success in life will become manifest. That one's attraction to Krishna will become awakened within his heart. But as the scriptures tell us, that there's no other way to awaken except by mercy of Vaishnava. So this answer has already been given by Śrīla Deva Mita Maharaj. And I thank him for enlightening me and giving me the inspiration to say something about bhakti. Which was revealed to me from his heart.
I wasn't feeling inspired before, but now I really feel inspired. Maharaj was speaking about the association of devotees. Sometimes we kind of wonder when life is a little inconvenient. Why do I have to be with these devotees? If you look around the room, probably most of the people that you're now associated with, if you remained in material life, you wouldn't associate with these kinds of persons. It's amazing how bhakti, Krishna's service, brings together all different flavors of personalities and upbringing. Sometimes there can appear to to be some inconveniences because devotees have different material personalities and styles of activity. Life can become very dangerous if we forget the treasure of devotee
association.
You see, regardless of the inconveniences that are sometimes there in the association of devotees, the wealth that is generated is that through the association of devotees, your attachment for Krishna increases. Just like business persons like to associate with other business persons to get inspiration for making money. Of course, there's envy. He has more money than me. But the fact is, in order to be inspired to generate wealth, wealthy people like to associate with each other. Sports persons, in order to be enthusiastic to achieve their goals, like to associate with successful sports persons. Sometimes before a big championship, a veteran sports person will call up a young one who's trying to win the championship and encourage him. Just keep a cool head. Do like this, do like that. You'll win. So we can see in all aspects of life that association plays such an important role. So much so that we can easily say, you become like who you associate with. If we always think how fortunate I am to have the association of devotees, then we'll always understand what true wealth is. This goes on even in the highest levels of the spiritual world. Krishna has his personal advisor, Uddhava. He's known as Mantri Raj, the king of the advisors or counselors. See, even Krishna has a counselor. His name is Haridas Udav. Krishna is the origin of the counselor. Yes, he turns to Mantri Raj, the king of the counselors, whenever he needs some advice how to handle a situation. Of course, what does Uddhava think? Krishna knows everything, but these are his pastimes, so let me play my part in his pastimes. Krishna deputed Haridas Uddhava with a very special task. go to Vrindavan to bring a message. The Acharyas point out that secretly, confidentially, Krishna was feeling the transcendental pain of separation from the residents of Vrindavan, just like they were feeling separation from him. Actually, Jiva Goswami points out that that transcendental pain was felt by Krishna as soon as the chariot of Akura left Vrindavan for Mathura. That transcendental pain, Yashoda Mai, she was thinking, she believed, yes, Krishna will come back in 3 days. But the gopis, they thought, he'll never come back. When he sees the ladies in Mathura, how can he return to us simple village girls? They couldn't believe it, how the cowherd men were loading up their chariots and preparing to go to Mathura with Krishna. Krishna's dearest devotees, his consorts in Vrindavan, they're thinking, the cowherdmen, don't they understand? Without Krishna, they'll die. So they're loading up the carts, ready to take Krishna to Mathura. In this way, they're killing themselves. They don't understand this. So Krishna left, and he sent a message back through a messenger. I shall return. Later, the Lord was thinking, these residents of Vrindavan, especially my dearest devotees, they cannot live without me. I'm simply thinking of their situation. I'll send Mantri Raj, Uddhava, I'll send him to Vrindavan with a message to show my sensitivity. At every level of devotional service, Krishna will show us that he cares and he's sensitive to our endeavors to serve him. Also, he had a double purpose, to send a message to console his devotees. He had a double purpose. To send a message to console his devotees and to let Uddhava see the Sangha, the association of devotees in Vrindavan. He wanted that Uddhava gets the benediction of studying the residents of Vrindavan. If on the material plane someone gets an opportunity to study at the best university, then the family, the friends are very happy.
Our son, our daughter has the opportunity to go to this learning institution. How fortunate our family is.
Well, I'm just making some jokes here.
He's a Yale graduate. He graduated from Yale University. Yale. Yes. Biggest one of the biggest universities.
Yes, my family was feeling like that at first. But after I graduated, my mother told me, I'll never send another son away from home again. So, it made me think of Prabhupada. My joke made me think of Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada came into my office at the VBT in Los Angeles. Devotees were introducing, they were telling Prabhupada, who was this foolish person. So they were explaining, oh, Prabhupada, he has graduated from such and such university. I was looking at Prabhupada's feet because I had read in the Bhagavatam you fix your gaze at the lotus feet of the saintly person. So I was just praying at Prabhupada's feet, Prabhupada, I'm a fool. Yeah, please deliver me from material
ignorance.
But they were still, though, these devotees, they were going on and on explaining to Prabhupada what all about this certain university. And then to my great surprise, Prabhupada was asking him questions. I was like, oh no! Don't listen to that, Prabhupada, don't listen! So I looked up, finally. And Prabhupada was just looking around in the office. And he noticed, he said, this office used to be a kitchen. That's how so observant to the details of serving Krishna. So then I forgot about my misery of hearing about my material past and was just absorbed in seeing Prabhupada analyze the situation. But still, it's interesting to know. At first, my mother was so happy. Oh, my son is going to such and such university. Praise the Lord. But after a few years, she was saying, I'll never send a son of mine away to university again. So,
The real opportunity for learning is given on the highest level to Buddhism. Go to Vrindavan University and study the love of the devotees there. That was Krishna's mercy on his devoted counselor. Go get the association of my dearest devotees. So, what was Uddhava's conclusion after studying Vrindavan Dham? What was his conclusion after studying the love and separation of the residents there? He said, let me pray to take birth as just some grass in Vrindavan, so that the gopis, they'll walk over me and put the dust of their feet on my head. That is a prayer for association. As Maharaj is explaining, the bhakti comes out in the association of those who have bhakti. So even Muntari Raj, Krishna's counselor, he knows how to take association in order to study what is bhakti. Lord Brahma echoed those prayers. Lord Brahma echoed the same point. After the Brahma Vimohana Leela, where Lord Brahma tried to interfere in Krishna's pastimes by thinking he took away the cowherd boys and cows, he offered prayers to the Lord in the 14th chapter of the 10th canto. He prayed, my dear Lord, let me take birth as grass inside Vrindavan so the gopis can walk over me, the residents of Vrindavan can walk over me and I can get the dust from their feet. But if I'm not fortunate enough to take birth as grass inside Vrindavan, let me take birth as grass outside of Vrindavan so that when the residents go outside, they'll walk on me. Once again, please recognize this is a prayer for association. This is a prayer for stimulation by the association of devotees, stimulation in devotional service. How can Lord Brahma, Adi Kavi, the original intellectual of the universe, the one who arranges the creation of the universe, how can he pray to take birth as a blade of grass? Not that he wanted to be grass in of itself, but he wanted a chance for a humble association. Then he thought, all right, I should go back to my planet, Brahmaloka. I'm actually out of place in Vrindavan. I've disturbed enough. I've caused enough disturbances in Vrindavan Dham. Time for me to get back to my service. Better I do my service as a Brahma than try to enjoy a personal association with the Lord. He asked Krishna permission. Krishna smiled. Didn't answer, just smiled. Indicating, yes, you can go. Bhaktivinoda Thakur offers a similar prayer. Kita Janmahao. I don't mind taking birth as an insect as long as it's in the house of the devotee. Think about that. Birth is an insect? But not just an ordinary insect, an insect in the house of a devotee. Bhaktivinoda Thakur sings. He's singing like this. I don't mind if I'm an insect as long as I'm in the house of a devotee. This song shows you the extraordinary wealth of Vaishnava Sangha. Because by the association of the Vaishnava, as Maharaj is explaining, we get stimulated in our development of bhakti. While at the BBT, Srila Prabhupada wrote us a famous letter. To all the devotees who had worked on Chaitanya Charitamrita. He wrote, Krishna, he says, Bhaktivinoda Thakur sings that Krishna Saitama, Krishna Vitepa, Krishna is the property of the devotee, therefore I'm running after the devotee shouting Krishna, Krishna. So we're running after the association of devotees, and in that way, our Krishna consciousness increases. In that association of devotees, your attachment for Krishna will develop, and then you'll understand finally why Bhaktivinoda can say such a thing that I don't mind being an insect as long as I'm in the house of the Lord. So I wasn't inspired before, but now after hearing Srila Ranjan speak, then I became a little bit inspired. It takes when something is very low, it takes a lot of effort to bring it up. So I just came up a little bit. So now I hope to rise more.
That was your proposal.
Ha ha ha. Or we can chant a little Hare Krishna.
Yeah. You want to leave?
I've just spoken it.
Okay.
Is that it? You want to? Is that it for the night for you? Huh? Okay.